Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
Your dog is a social beast. Did you know that? And dogs make friends like we do. And dogs love to meet up and play and get together with others like we do. But like we do, they need to learn. Like when you were small, your parents socialized you. They brought you out, you had play dates, and you went into play school maybe, and you went to the park, and you met other kids. You learned it like a skill. It's the same with dogs. And Esther Ring is running dog socialization classes under the name of Top Barks. Love the name, Esther. Good morning.
Thanks very much, PJ. Thanks for having me.
Delighted. We do. Our dogs do need to learn it. I mean, I've two dogs. Totally different social personalities. You know, we need to... Every dog has got a social personality, and it's... We kind of owe it to them to teach them, don't we?
Yeah, 100%. Animals need to play with other animals to develop their communication skills and to cope with uncertainties in life. And when we have puppies are all social, most puppies, not unless something detrimental has happened during their critical periods, but most puppies are social and love the company of other dogs because that's how they learn how to be a dog. So the more that we can get our young puppies out and playing with other dogs, the less chances they're going to have issues with other dogs as they get older.
Yeah.
But older dogs generally then tend to mature a little bit and don't really kind of like the fuss of, like, so for argument's sake, we put into toddler, into human context, you know, you might have a toddler that loves the company of other children, but then as they get a little older, they have only a couple of friends.
Yeah.
So this is what makes it a little bit easier for us. But it's really fundamental for them to interact and to play.
Well, I've two little dogs. One of them, Bella, she'd make friends with anything. If you brought her a dog the size of an elephant, all she wants to be is friends. Whereas my other little dog, Harry, anything bigger than himself, he runs behind you. He's half afraid.
So the scientific terms of that then is that your little Bella is what we call dog tolerant. So she absolutely loves the company of any dog, any size, makes no difference, party all the time.
Yeah.
And then your other little fella is called what we call dog selective. So he's kind of saying, I don't fancy the big fellas, but I like the small fellas. And that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
As long as he's using his communication skills in the proper way in order to tell the big fellas, oh no, I don't really want to play with you. I only like small dogs.
Yeah. And she's slightly smaller than him, so they're great pals, and that's the kind of dog he's grown up with, if you like, because she's older than him.
She's
nearly nine, he's about five, and he's grown up with her, so he's comfortable with a dog that's a little bit smaller. And I figure that's common enough.
Yeah, because you've just hit the nail on the head. So what's happened with what did you call your little the not Bella, the other dog's
Harry.
Name
Harry.
Harry, yeah, so what, you literally hit the nail on the head with Harry. Harry came to your house. Bella was the first dog that he interacted with besides his litter mates and his mom. He grew up with her during his critical socialization period, accepted her because, you know, they're like little sponges at that time. She showed him the way, and then he feels very secure around her size and he dogs of her temperament.
I see.
And it might have been just the fact that you mightn't have played with anything bigger during his socialization periods.
I see. Now, a lot of people got new dogs during the pandemic and they never had a dog in the house before. And they saved our sanity, I think. Certainly my dogs saved my sanity during the pandemic when we were all locked up. But a lot of those dogs, they weren't socialized properly because we couldn't. We weren't able to go out. We weren't able to do much. So your classes at the Marina Market, what can people do?
Yep.
What can the dogs learn there?
So what we have, so just to kind of go back to the start, when people get a new puppy from the ages of about 3 weeks to 12 weeks, depending on breed and size, you have this critical socialization period. And sometimes socialization is a term that gets misunderstood. It doesn't mean about the dogs learning how to romp around and play with other dogs, but rather, as you said, being habituated and getting used to the environment around them. And as you said, during COVID, we couldn't get our dogs out to see traffic, to see the city, to see buses, to see old people, young people and all this. So what happens is some dogs that have missed this critical socialization period would be a little bit more wary. It doesn't mean that we can't help them along. Of course we can. This is what I do down below in the Marina Market. But it turns from socialization to a terminology is called habituation. So basically becoming used to something and not minding that that object is there. I don't, for argument's sake, let's say that you are sitting in your office there now and the fire alarm goes off.
Yeah.
And suddenly you go, oh my God, what's that noise? But then after a while, somebody comes to you and says, it's okay, there's no actually a fire, we're just doing fire testing. And then you almost become habituated to the sign because you know that there's not actually a fire, there's no emergency, and that the threat is gone.
Yes.
So this is kind of similar to what we're doing, what I'm doing down below in the Marina Market. For dogs that mightn't have had the opportunity to play with other dogs during COVID, that we introduce them slowly, match their play styles, because as you said, your two little dogs have two different play styles. I match their play styles and I supervise, and we slow and steady win the race to get dogs used to being out and about, used to having positive experiences. And I use, I work under positive reinforcement training. So that means making everything a good, happy choice for the dog. And if they're not happy, then we just offer them space and we just step back a little bit.
Yeah.
So on Saturday and Sunday mornings, I run free puppy and dog play dates for dogs that like the company of other dogs or young dogs, so that they have the opportunity to play and interact. And then after that, then if people are having a little bit more trouble and are understanding their dogs, basically, I do classes then in the evenings. So we do 4 week courses at a time for all age groups.
Very good, very good. And do you have Facebook and Instagram?
I do. I have Facebook and Instagram. Yeah, under Top Barks Cork, you'll find me, and you'll find me through the Marina Markets. Social media as well.
Excellent.
And even if you're ever passing, I'm there most weekends and in the evenings.
Excellent.
But anyone who has any questions about how to even get started, they're more than welcome to contact
sure.
me. Because I find that play is so important for our dogs. So it is. So for humans and dogs, the importance of play is significant. It deserves to be taken seriously. And sometimes it's underappreciated.
Yeah. I came across a term recently, Esther. My two lads, one thing they do to knock out a bit of steam is they go to the backyard and they chase each other and they jump over one another and there's a lot of snarling and now there's no harm in it that ever was.
No.
Someone called it zoomies.
Yeah, so your two guys are not, I wouldn't, so your two guys probably are performing zoomies, but they're in a better context because they're actually playing with each other.
Yes.
So if you were getting a chase and then a stop and then a kind of a rough and tumble and then a chase again and then a stop and then a rough and tumble, then this is very normal.
They jump over each other like hurdles and everything. It's great.
Because it's what they're doing is so, if you have to think about play, like play has no significant function, only to feel good. And sometimes it's misconcepted as that has to be something that they're, you know, exhibiting behaviors of predatory. Now there is different types of play.
Yeah.
There is chasing behavior, there's predatory behavior, there is mouthing, rough and tumble. And your guys, if they have the space, are utilizing that. What you'd like to see is, rather than one dog chasing the other, is you'd almost want to see them shoulder to shoulder, bashing into each other.
Well, they're going after each other.
Perfect.
Jumping over one another,
That's perfect. But what happens is when you have a dog that's solitary or solo playing, as they call, and they're performing zoomies a lot, is because they are not having an energy outlet in order to get rid of that energy. So they're trying to get rid of this energy burst that they have, and they play this game. And what I find when they come to me then in a play setting with other dogs, these guys don't have the skill set to play with others and play this game on their own very regularly. And what happens is when they play that right game, and I can like your listeners just to have a good think about this, especially if they're letting their dogs off in parks that they're not meant to be off on, and your dogs perform this behavior, this is kind of very dangerous territory, because the dog that's used to running around in circles by himself is suddenly now being chased by five or six dogs.
Yes.
And that's when it can all go very wrong.
It can.
So what I would say to you is, if your dog is performing zoomies, the best thing to do is interrupt them and say, okay, I can let you do one or two, and then I'm going to call you and I'm going to get you to come in over and sit, or I'm going to get a little toy and we're going to throw it, or we're going to think. Because what happens is the brain can switch very quickly, and the zoomies then turn and what become compulsive. So it becomes a compulsory habit. So
yes,
what was once a very natural behavior for a dog to release a bit of energy now becomes very addictive, because obviously the adrenaline is released. The dog gets kind of a good feel about it. So what I say to people,
and with a strange dog in a strange place, that can lead to accidents.
Oh, 100%, because what happens is predatory mode sets in. You have one dog running, next minute the other dog's getting chased by three other dogs, and it starts to panic. So it might start to yelp if it's a small little dog and it's getting chased by a big dog. And yeah, I don't even want to finish that into that story.
Yeah.
You can imagine what could happen.
Indeed.
And it's nobody's fault, only that it's a natural
consequence. Well, there's the thing, Esther. The reason I asked you about it was because my two do it all the time, and whenever when we're around them, if we think it's getting a little bit lively, we give them an old toe and say, break it up, kind of thing. Because they had a little accident recently, you see. There was a little accident, and that's all it was a little accident. Involved a trip to the vet, shall we say. No, they're all fine again. But we were told after, just watch them, and if they started getting a bit too lively, just break them up, distract them.
See, what happens is somebody has to be the referee, for argument's sake, or the responsible adult. So when I'm in a play session down in the Marina Market,
there you go.
I play, everyone else sits down, and I man 10 or 12 dogs at a time. I am the referee. I am the one to say, no, you're not being polite. You're being a little bit rude.
That's not
the play style we can do here. So I have to do that.
So you're the responsible adult supervising the play,
I'm the responsible adult. Because if you don't, nobody... Now, you might get one older dog that's 10 or that might be 5 or 6 and is well socialised and bomb-proof and is a great dog. And they could come in and do my job for me one Saturday morning and I wouldn't have to do anything, because they're the one that's putting the manners on everybody, saying, no, you can't play like that.
Fabulous.
That's not allowed. We don't play like that. And it's great to see. And it's great to see, even if you have a little bit of a shy dog, that it's actually been proven in studies that dogs show empathy, and you'll see them. They'll all be going over, licking the dog's face, going, oh, would you not come out for a play?
They're great like that. They won't let one pal out. They'll try and find a way.
And dogs are just like children. So if you've had small children in your life, you know that if you bring them someplace, there's no point in going someplace for 10 or 15 minutes, because the poor child doesn't have time to acclimatize to what's going on. You know, almost need an hour. And sometimes it takes some dogs 35 minutes before they decide, okay, now I feel safe. Because what you get is, from wariness, which is kind of a little bit of fear, to the environment, then to exploration.
Then
so they start
confidence.
Getting a bit of curious, and they start sniffing the environment, then to trust. And only when you have trust will you have play.
Yeah, it's great.
It's the only time.
And it's great to watch them at it. Esther Ring, Top Bark, Sparks with a Z, B-A-R-K-Z. You'll find her on social media. You'll find her at the Marina Market as well, for play dates for doggies.
Cork's 96 FM.